and also increase tenfold the number of electric charging points around Islington. And this will encourage people to adopt cleaner, safer travel around the borough. This, combined with sensible quick solutions, such as changing one-way roads into two-way roads for cyclists, increasing the number of bike storage areas from its current 20, and decreasing the charge, which is £104, which is quite frankly ridiculous, when car parking charges are somewhere in the region of £80, will really set the borough up for success. Islington needs better, Islington deserves better, and with a Conservative council or a real opposition, we can deliver better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ed.
I should say, actually, thank you all for listening so respectfully. As you did then, please avoid interrupting each other if you can. Please use your own answers to respond to any points you wish to respond to in the other people's speeches. So, okay, so next on to Kate for the Lib Dems. If you would like to give us 4 minutes on the key points of your manifesto with relation to healthy streets and transport. Thank you, Kate.
Good evening. I'd just like to say how much I enjoyed the spring cycle the other weekend. Thanks particularly to Tab, who literally kept me pumped up all afternoon, the bikes being fixed. Thank you. A little bit about me. I've lived in Islington for nearly 30 years, and I've lived here in Highbury for almost 20. I'm an occasional cyclist, and I've got a Brompton-owning husband who regularly commutes by bike. A career politician, but I am closely involved in the local community. If you're a member of the Highbury Fields Association, you've probably come across me already. I'm particularly interested in protecting the green space of Highbury Fields and closely following the developments for the buildings on the fields and the Highbury Corner. But the successful campaign against the Sainsbury's store on the Blackstock Road, in which the Lib Dems played a part, highlighted many of the traffic issues that affect this area, including, as we've heard, environmental pollution near schools, loading bays reducing pavement width, large lorries parking and affecting the flow of traffic on a narrow main road. And as a parent, I don't let my children cycle unaccompanied on Islington's roads. It feels too risky. But the zebra crossing that I use to access Highbury Fields from Aberdeen Park is also scary. Cars drive at high speed down Highbury Grove. We've heard, Lib Dem campaigners have heard these concerns on the doorstep all across the borough. It's patently silly that children can't safely walk or cycle to nearby parks. If all outdoor exercise has to be planned or supervised because of safety fears, we're really failing our children. Now, a core pledge of the Lib Dem manifesto is to try to reduce air pollution, and there's a number of things we propose to do. Installing air pollution monitors at primary schools, visible air pollution monitors, will focus attention on the problem and encourage action. Shutting streets near schools at opening and closing times is also a possibility in some locations and something we'll also be pushing for. But a key goal must be to reduce the number of car journeys in the borough. This requires a truly joined-up approach. As well as encouraging more people to walk and cycle across the borough, it will be essential to make public transport as accessible as possible. The more journeys by bus, tube or overground, the fewer journeys by car. The Lib Dems are campaigning to get TfL to make Highbury and Islington Station fully accessible. At present, it's a nightmare for the less mobile, with no lifts to the tube platforms and many stairs. The escalator capacity is simply inadequate for the volume of people using the station, and it's often closed even on not just on match days. The proposals for the redesign of Highbury Roundabout, whilst very welcome in terms of improved safety for cyclists, don't get our unequivocal support. They just don't go far enough. The potential for traffic displacement into residential streets has not been properly addressed. Pedestrian waiting times are significantly extended, increasing the risk that the impatient will try to cross through traffic. Segregated cycle lanes disappear when you reach the main road, and bus travellers are badly affected. The loss of the 277 has real negative consequences for the elderly and those travelling with children. As acknowledged in the report on the consultation, it currently runs every 5 to 8 minutes at rush hour. And to compensate for the loss of this, we're just going to get two more additional number 30s in each direction. Fewer buses, less space for buggies, less space for wheelchairs. If you can't get on a bus, you're more likely to drive. And of course, many Islington residents, as we've heard, don't have cars. The Lib Dems are calling for a pause in the works at Highbury Corner. There is no need for speed. Let us have some time to consider the proposals in more detail. A hiatus of several months might produce a better outcome all round. At present, it seems that the plan is to build first and design later. Why not try and address some of the concerns before the building happens? We want more on-street secure cycle parking at a reasonable cost too. It's absurd that it costs £104 plus a deposit of £25 for a key to park a bicycle when electric cars can park across the borough for free. We'd like to see a set percentage of the council's parking revenue spent on improvements for cycling and pedestrians, and these are the very people who should be at the heart of identifying and prioritising how that money should be spent. I may be new to politics, but I've always cared about my community, and I hope you will vote Lib Dem on May the 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Okay, so if we could now have Caroline Russell for the Greens. 4 minutes on the key points in your manifesto on transport in Islington and how they will improve health and air quality. Caroline.
Okay, I'm going to stand up because I don't speak so well sitting down. I'm Caroline Russell. I have always ridden a bicycle in London since I moved here in 1986. And but it was only when I first had children in... Can I take this off here? That's going to be much better. Sorry, wasting my time. It was only when I first had children in 25 years ago and started pushing a buggy around that I realised just how hostile our streets are. We saw the photographs that Tab showed us at the very beginning. Times where you have to make a decision, are you going to overtake into the line of that truck or not? And just imagine if you're trying to cycle with your children to school. It's really, really just not okay. Our children have streets that they are growing up with that are harming their health, leading to them being obese, leading to them having permanently stunted lung growth, and leaving them with no sense of, you know, that sort of self-propulsion, that independence that you can get around from A to B where you want to go. Now, when many people here, some people here, may know Zara Adams. She would be 21 now if she hadn't been killed when her buggy went under the wheels of a heavy goods vehicle on Blackstock Road, just down the road, when her mother was pushing her and her siblings to school at William Tyndale School. And that, for me, was an absolute moment where I thought, this is not okay. People should not be being killed on our streets just when they're accompanying their older siblings to school. And so I became a campaigner. I joined Islington Living Streets, and I'm very delighted to be here tonight as your guest. And obviously as a guest of Islington, Cycle Islington, as you are now, rather than ICAG. But I think the absolute impossibility of our children being able to cycle to school. I don't think there's any school in Islington at the moment that is easy, that enables children to cycle to school. Tab talked about wanting the ambition for people from 8 to 80 to be able to get out on their bikes. Are streets safe for people from 3 to 103 or at least 93? I mean, you know, we really do need to make a fundamental shift. We have an opportunity. We have a mayor who is determined to bring down traffic. He wants 85% of our journeys to be made on foot, by bike or by public transport by 2041. And as a borough, we need to play our part in making that happen. Because if we continue with great big increases in the numbers of people living around here, and everyone tries to get into an electric car, there is just not going to be enough space on our streets. Traffic is changing. We have app-enabled transport. We have Uber clogging up our streets with more and more taxis, but we also have people using apps like Waze or just ordinary sat-nav to get themselves from A to B. So we need to be engaging with what TfL has on offer. We need to be developing together as a community ideas for livable neighbourhoods. We need livable neighbourhoods everywhere, but the most important thing we have to do is tackle our main
roads.
Thanks,
Caroline. Okay. Okay, and yes, of course. Sorry, do you want to? Is that on? There's a radio mic somewhere. If you want to, have we got the radio mic somewhere?
Great. Okay, I think I've got one here.
So, Claudia Webb for Labour. 4 minutes, please, on key points in your manifesto that relate to transport and air quality.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here this evening to discuss how Islington Labour has and will continue to work towards creating healthier streets and a more sustainable transport environment in Islington. You see, no matter your age, background, profession or commute, we all breathe the same air and travel on the same streets. That's why delivering healthy streets and tackling poor air quality is in everybody's interest. For Islington Labour, it's about fairness and our goal to make Islington a fairer place for all. In many ways, Islington is a wonderful place to live. It's a home to brilliant local schools, to international businesses and great cultural institutions. However, it is the 24th most deprived borough in the country, with extremes of poverty living side by side, and it's our children who are suffering the most. Levels of air pollution caused by diesel polluting cars and trucks and lorries are high, exceeding EU limits. We know that many people choose not to cycle on streets because they feel unwelcome and are dominated by motor traffic. Any death or injury is one too many, and we must work to eliminate them completely from streets in Islington. We have worked hard to remove the car-dominated archway gyratory, removing a road and creating a safer, attractive public space with improved routes for pedestrians and cyclists. We are working hard to deliver similar changes at Highbury Corner and at Old Street and at King's Cross. Islington, you see, is a borough of firsts. We were the first council in the country to introduce a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit on our roads. We were also the first to introduce, without apology, a diesel vehicle surcharge for residents, parking permits and short-stay parking, encouraging people to switch to less polluting vehicles. We have led calls for our Labour Mayor of London to ban diesel vehicles from the city by 2025. We've created a city fringe low-emission neighbourhood banning polluting cars altogether from the streets in one of the most congested and polluted parts of the borough. Delivering healthy streets also means enabling more people to walk safely and more people to cycle safely. We are encouraging more people to take advantage of the benefits of cycling by continuing our programme of quiet ways, cycle lanes and implementing covered, lockable, protected bike storage and cycle parking on our streets and, crucially, on our estate. And we've reached agreements with Douglas Cycle Companies to act responsibly. But our work is simply not over yet. That's why Islington Labour is the only party in these elections to have published a full manifesto that sets out a radical vision of how we will meet the borough and make the borough a fairer place for all. We will bring forward plans to close streets outside local schools during school opening and closing times and install air quality monitoring outside every school to inform further actions to clean up the air our children breathe. We will work towards banning lorries from driving through the borough on residential roads to prevent rat running and close certain roads to through traffic in consultation with local residents and businesses. We will work with the Labour Mayor of London to move faster in replacing TfL buses with cleaner and greener models. And we will lead, by example, by making the Council's own fleet of vehicles environmentally friendly as possible, and we will meet our service demand.
Thank you. Cheers.
If anybody does want to sort of stand up and walk around, there is a radio mic here, so just let me know. Okay, so we've now got three questions that have been sourced by the groups hosting the evening tonight. Again, I'll give you a 10-second warning. If you could keep your answers to 2 minutes, I will read them out. They are on the screen. All the candidates have had them in advance. So, yeah, these are prepared.
this has been...
No, I've got them, sorry. Okay, I've got them here. Yeah, so the first question, I'm going to start with Kate, and then we're going to move to what is the audience's right, and then we'll do that each time so everyone gets a chance to open. So, Kate, when you're ready, the mayor is inviting ambitious bids for livable neighbourhood funding with grants available of up to £10 million. Which area of Islington would you target for a bid, and what changes would you make there to transform conditions for pedestrians and cyclists in the area? Off you go.
I'd target the streets sandwiched between the Holloway Road, Drayton Park, Gillespie Road, Blackstock Road, Highbury Grove, St Paul's Road, that whole area. That area contains several primary schools, it contains nurseries, it's a key cycle corridor, and it's got many quiet residential streets. And I think trying to resolve that area and turn that into a livable neighbourhood it's got all the criteria for being a suitable area for a successful bid for a livable neighbourhood funding. You could have modal filtering with width restrictions put in place. Gillespie Road, I think it was mentioned earlier, it's a well-known rat run. People living near there have told us they're absolutely terrified to cycle on those roads and wouldn't dream of cycling to school, even though the schools are very local. But Islington's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle, so each neighbourhood is a key piece, and so you need to look at... You can't look at them in isolation. Where you make a change in one area, it might have a consequence for another area. And ill-thought-out and badly designed solutions, even if they've got good intentions, like the Drayton Park pinch point, simply, if they're poorly developed and badly managed, just create resentment. So we've got to proactively work with the community to make sure that you deliver solutions that meet residents' needs. We'll proactively seek funding from TfL's Borough Cycling Programme. It's really disappointing that in 2015-16, the current council got just £85,000, the lowest of any borough. Hackney, by contrast, got £245,000. Was it a flawed application process, or was it just not a priority? Oh, and the Lib Dems support is Cycle Islington's five asks. It was really great to see practical examples of these when I cycled with you on Sunday, so thank you for that. But it's also essential, and I think this was mentioned at the start, to ensure that bus lanes and cycle lanes aren't obstructed by lorries and vans loading, slowing commuter journeys and forcing cyclists into busy traffic. The Lib Dems would call for better enforcement to discourage this bad practice, as well as a ban on vehicle idling. There's little point introducing restrictions if there's no enforcement.
Thank you. Okay. And the same question, I don't need to repeat it, it's on the screen. So same question to Caroline for the Greens, please. Off you go.
Thank you very much. We mustn't just sit here as politicians and say this is the best place to make a livable neighbourhood. If a livable neighbourhood is going to be successful, it has to have community backing, it has to come out of community consultation and community discussion, and a joint mutual understanding of what the problems are. So if the problems are rat-running traffic and not enough facilities for people who are walking, not enough pedestrian crossings, not enough safe cycling infrastructure, then if the community has a joint understanding of what the problem is, they're much, much more likely to come to a consensual decision. The one thing we do not want in Islington is the residents of one street pitted against the residents of another, battling to try not to have all the traffic on their road. And that's why it needs an area-wide approach that they took in Waltham Forest. And it is why we need to not only do the simple things like put the filters in, the bollards, the planters that block off roads to deal with the side roads, but we need to have a real strategy for our main roads. We have a 20 mph limit, which I'm very proud was suggested originally by Green Councillor Katie Dawson, who got it into both the Lib Dem and the Labour budget back in 2010. But that is not enough. And what we need on our main roads is to know that where there's a bus stop, people on bikes are not going to be pulling out into the traffic. Where we have space, we should be putting in bus stop bypasses. I was really glad to get the mayor to trial zebra crossings for bus stop bypasses, which he is now using, which makes them much easier for pedestrians to use. So those are the kind of things that we need
to
do.
Okay. What I would say is, counterintuitively, if you obviously great to show appreciation, if you could keep your applause to the end, it just means that they actually end up with longer to answer the question. So, Okay, and same question to Claudia Webb for Labour. So, Claudia, when you're ready.
So I love an enjoyable walk or cycle ride through an urban environment defined by community and intimate neighbourhoods, which are free from traffic, pollution and noise, and where I feel safe and not seen as an obstacle or inconvenience, and where my identity is not destroyed by the need to wear lycra, but my style, my being and belonging is authentic and accepted. To make cycling attractive, it's not enough just to create cycle lanes and make bicycles available to all. That's why livable neighbourhoods are so important. But I agree that it's not simply that we can just improve environments without consulting with local communities first. We are determined to implement a programme of healthy streets at Clerkenwell Green, Central Street and Golden Lane and at Angel. But the reality is that in order to make the change we want, we need to have communities involved. But I'm not going to duck the question, and I'm simply going to answer it from this point of view. I look at my own area. I represent the ward of Bunhill. And what I want to see for Bunhill, I want to be able to walk down where we've built a new school called Moreland School and be able to walk down that street knowing that children have designed that street, redesigned it in their favour, and that they have been responsible for enabling cars to see that this is a street for children. And then I want to be able to walk on and see on the corner of Moreland Street and Central Street,
10 seconds,
the energy centre that they can enjoy, to go down Central Street and see a master plan that is designed for people and that people can
Thank
enjoy.
You. Thanks, Claudia. Okay, and finally to Ed for the Conservatives. So 2 minutes, Ed.
Thank you. What we've heard is a lot of stuff about what's happened in the past, but what we have is a great joined-up plan for the future. And that is north-south commuting routes for cyclists on Liverpool Road and improvement and implementation, proper implementation of Quiet Way 10. But then more importantly for our families, two cross-borough cycling routes from Highbury Prison through Finsbury Park to Nag's Head, and the second one from Sussex Road to Hornsey Road to the Sobel Centre. This will allow family-friendly commuting and family-friendly cycling, safe, bright, pleasant routes through the area for families and children to commute to school, to go to our parks at the weekends, and really enjoy the outdoor life. But what we can also do, and I've heard the word fair mentioned here before, is make it a lot more fair. We've got 20 secure cycling sheds in Islington at the minute, which is great, but they cost £104 plus a deposit. Car parking, on the other hand, averages around about £80. That is not fair. Yes, there's lots in council estates, and that's brilliant. It's brilliant to encourage people in council estates to cycle more. It's healthier. It's much better. But there are people outside council estates as well, and we need that facility for everyone to enjoy. So we have, the Conservatives, offer a joined up future plan to enable us all to enjoy our roads and our environment much better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, I'll switch the order for the next question. So the second question we've got tonight, which you can all see there. Islington suffers from very poor air quality and high levels of childhood obesity and inactivity. By the time they leave primary school, one in four of Islington's children are already clinically obese. A school streets scheme would restrict motor vehicle access during school drop-off and pick-up hours. This reduces pollution, congestion and road danger and creates a more pleasant environment to encourage walking and cycling to school. Hackney plans to roll out 17 school streets by 2022. Will you commit to beat this? So that question will go to Caroline first of all, just as the order goes round. So Caroline, 2 minutes when you're ready. Thank you
very much. I would love to beat Hackney on school streets. It's a really obvious thing to do. And many of our schools are on quiet side roads. One, Drayton Park School, you could easily make Arven Road into a school street, closing it to motorised traffic outside the school for the kind of half hour of children arriving and leaving at the beginning and end of the school day. I've seen it around other schools in Waltham Forest. It is absolutely transformatory, and it really could make a real difference. It would also discourage parents from using a car to get to school because they've got to park that bit further away. It's less convenient to park, and therefore, they might be nudged not to drive to school. I am only too aware of the bad air around our schools. I did, in 2011, one of the first community science projects in London to measure air pollution using nitrogen dioxide measuring tubes. And since then, I was so shocked by the levels of pollution that I discovered, even on the side roads in Highbury, that ever since then I have been campaigning to try and clean up our air. I think the best way that we can do that is to make it easy for people not to use a car for local journeys. And if we make it so that it is a pleasure to walk, cycle, and use public transport, then we are much, much more likely, if we have a car, to leave it behind for those local journeys. But the big question for Islington is that many of our schools are on our main roads, and those are much more difficult.
10 seconds.
Those roads need really good pedestrian crossings outside their schools. They need protected cycle routes to get them there, and that's why the Highbury Corner plan does
Thank
deliver
you,
that for children at
Thanks.
Canterbury School, and I'm very glad to see it.
Stop.
I'm stopping.
Okay, thank you very much. Same question to you, Claudia. 2 minutes, please.
You may have noticed the pattern, but it is clearly Labour councils that are delivering a Labour future that is clear in terms of tackling pollution and cycling and walking. And that's why it's important to recognise that here in Islington, we are doing just that in terms of we are proud of what our neighbouring Labour Hackney are doing, but we are also doing just that, I'm working very closely with them. Tackling air pollution, you see, cannot be a single borough issue because the air is blowing from all over the place. So what we are doing is we're working very closely with our schools. You see, when the Tory mayor of London was in power, you will remember, he tried to hide a report that was a damning assessment of the level of pollution that are located at our schools. Well, a number of those schools were in Islington, and yet he tried to hide that report. We have about 20 schools identified in the top polluting schools in London. We're going to target those schools for air pollution measures. And so, yes, we're going to close schools at opening and closing time, close roads, sorry, we won't close schools, but we'll close roads at opening and closing times. In fact, we've started, the top most polluting school is, of course, Central Foundation School in my own borough of Bunhill. And we're working with Hackney, with the City Fringe Low Emission Neighbourhood Project, and we've already consulted. We've got significant support from residents and communities, and we've already going to close that road. Because with a Labour mayor and with Labour councils, that's what...
Thank you, Claudia.
It's not words, it's deeds and action.
Okay, thanks. Same question. Okay, same question, 2 minutes to Ed for the Conservatives, please.
Thanks very much. It's a great question. We really need to improve the health of our children. It's the most important thing to me. The future is the most important thing to me, and that's improving the health of our children. However, again, we keep harking back to the past. But the Conservatives are offering a vision for the future, and we've already said about our joined-up, family-friendly, cross-borough cycling initiative. But we also need to recognise that some schools are in less polluted areas. And I must disagree with the fact that because the air blows around everywhere, it means it's the same pollution everywhere. That's not quite true.
Some schools are in less polluted areas, and in those areas, absolutely, quiet streets or quiet school streets initiatives are good, and restricting traffic access during those times are really something that, that we would like to implement. But our medium-term plan and a real cornerstone of our manifesto is once we are in the council, within the first week, we will start the process to conduct an audit of the pollution around all of our primary schools. And then we will start the process to move the primary schools in the worst polluted areas into less polluted areas, and that will become a cornerstone of our infrastructure moving forward. And that's where we offer a great plan for the future. And yes, it is difficult, and yes, it's not easy, and yes, there'll be a lot of issues around that, but it's something that we're really offering for the future that I don't think is being offered, or I don't think there is another alternative to. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, the same question, 2 minutes to Kate for the Lib Dems, please.
I think we should definitely try to beat Hackney's goals. We've got less schools than Hackney, though, so if we even equal their amount, we'll be beating them in percentage terms. But, of course, as well as introducing school streets, we've got to strive to reduce the number of car journeys taken, and that's where a successful livable neighbourhood scheme can really help deliver results. But with respect to childhood obesity, we've got to think about more than just walking to school. It's important that our parks and open spaces are easy to access and safe to use. Exercise shouldn't only take place in a formal or structured environment, like an expensive trampolining hall. There should be plenty of opportunities to just kick a ball around or throw a frisbee. You know, why are there so many no ball game signs on our council estates? But also our council-run sports facilities need to be places we want to return to. Highbury Leisure Centre's got some lovely new smart gyms and dance studios, but frankly, the women's changing rooms by the pool are squalid. There's black mould on the ceilings, cracked and missing tiles in the showers, and the pool itself has sand on the bottom, large piles of it. I recently saw a mother struggling to carry her two toddlers, having showered them, because she didn't want them to walk on the dirty floor. We've got to maintain our sports facilities well enough that people use them. Highbury Fields itself also becomes less attractive during the summer barbecue season, with many families complaining about the smoke, the polluting smoke and litter. Lib Dems would support the banning of barbecues in our parks. Picnics are a much less polluting way to enjoy the open spaces of Islington. But regular activity is not only important for the young, the elderly also benefit. It's a shame that the council are proposing to close Sotheby Mews Day Centre, even though they are hoping to relocate many of the existing services to Highbury Roundhouse. Sotheby Mews is well placed near a bus stop just off a main road, making it convenient and safe to access. The Roundhouse, however, is significantly further from public transport, and vulnerable elderly users have expressed concern about walking across Highbury Fields on winter evenings. Wouldn't it be a pity if they were deterred from using these services?
Thank you. Okay, so this is the evil answer, haven't you? This is the final question that's been sourced by the hosts this evening. Same deal, 2 minutes each. So, the Mayor of London's transport strategy aims to reduce total London traffic by 10 to 15% by 2041. Creating low traffic neighbourhoods and cutting off rat runs are ways of achieving this, and also reducing air pollution and creating routes which are safe and inviting for walking and cycling. What policies will you implement to support this? And which roads or areas will you prioritise for intervention? So we're going to start with Claudia for Labour. 2 minutes, off you go.
Well, we will work with the Labour London Mayor to eliminate or reduce traffic and deliver new protected cycle routes, including from Old Street to Clerkenwell and the Camden Road and Seven Sisters corridor. We will also work to deliver and make sure that we're delivering on the ambition that the Mayor has, that 80% of all trips are made by foot, cycle or public transport by 2041. You see, Labour's ambition is to make the borough's transport environment healthy by promoting active travel, which is why we will also bring forward a new transport strategy in 2019. In the next 4 years, Islington Labour will work towards banning polluting diesel HGVs from driving through the borough on residential roads, so local people do not have to breathe in polluted air outside their homes. Rat running is disruptive for residents, which is why we will investigate closing certain roads to through traffic in consultation with local residents and businesses. It's important we consider the potential knock-on effects of diverting traffic before implementing any closure. By creating safe routes for walking and cycling, we can further reduce the total traffic on our streets. That's why we will work very closely with the Labour Mayor of London, our Labour neighbouring councils, and actually, on May the 3rd,
10 seconds.
We could well, and I believe we will, have a Labour London across all our boroughs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, same question, 2 minutes goes to Ed for the Conservatives.
So we would work with any London mayor to reduce congestion, and not just a Labour mayor or not just a Conservative mayor. And we will implement a transport plan in 2018, not 2019. It's a great target, and who knows what wonderful technology will exist then to help us meet that target. But now the Conservatives in Islington have the opportunity or have the plan to try and reduce that target in the near term. In the medium term, I've already discussed our cross-borough cycling initiatives and what we would aim to do with schools in polluted areas. In the longer term, I've spoken about infrastructure along the Holloway Road area and working with TfL and the London Mayor to come up with a solution to that, a grand solution to a main road and a road I'm proud of that runs through our borough. And it's clear that the lack of action and the papering over the cuts in the past 8 years just have not worked, and we need a real solution. We need a real solution for the future. And we offer that both in the short term, the medium term and the long term. And with a Conservative voice on the council or a Conservative council, we can deliver that for the people of Islington and deliver a real change for our neighbourhoods and our borough. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Same question to Kate for the Lib Dems. 2 minutes, please.
Thanks. It can feel very dangerous to be a pedestrian in Islington. I've already talked about the zebra crossing on Highbury Grove, but crossing some of the other roads in Islington is also dangerous. The side roads leading onto the Holloway Road, for example, Palmer Place. And there's a lack of pedestrian crossings on the way to some schools, for example, crossing to the south of Canterbury Square towards William Tyndall. So the Lib Dems believe that there needs to be a review of pedestrian crossings across the borough to ensure that they're well marked, safe to use, and that there are enough of them in the right locations. If we want to encourage our children to take more activity, we need to make our main roads safer, particularly those that lead to schools, parks and sports facilities. In terms of reducing car traffic, of course, we must prioritise the streets leading to our schools. Air pollution, as mentioned, is a known serious health issue with long-term effects, especially for the young. In fact, living on some of Islington's, of the busier roads in Islington, is equivalent to smoking 10 cigarettes passively each day. Another change, and I think Claudia mentioned this, would be to restrict larger lorries from using residential streets, for example, Fieldway Crescent, which is also a busy cycle route, to stop them using them as cut-throughs, simply solvable with width restrictions and traffic cameras, for example. We'd like to see broader restrictions on HGVs, banning them from residential streets across the borough. We'd like TfL to do more to speed up the switch to greener buses, and we'd like the council to carry on transforming its fleet into being as environmentally friendly as possible. Public transport is key to reducing the number of car journeys, as I've already mentioned. We'd like to make Highbury and Islington fully accessible, and that would be a good start. It's one of the top 20 hubs in London, and it's the ninth busiest interchange in the country. It really deserves better. There's a real concern that the redesign of Highbury Corner might increase traffic on nearby side streets, despite TfL saying it will monitor the situation and consider mitigation if necessary. Locals tell us they would strongly prefer that the scheme is designed up front to prevent this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and finally, same question to Caroline for the Greens, please. 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Ramsey. Traffic reduction. What we've got to
how we have to think is that traffic is not inevitable. We don't need to be thinking about diverting traffic onto other roads. We need to understand that some traffic will evaporate, and that is what has happened in Waltham Forest, where they've done the Mini Holland scheme with the area-wide filtering in the side roads and lots of measures on their main roads. So the volume of traffic that we have at the moment is not an inevitability, and we have to plan for a future with less traffic. One of the ways that we can do stuff is to make sure that the 20 mile an hour speed limit, that is fantastic and it's across the whole of our borough, but it isn't enforced and the police don't have very much money to enforce it. Now, I did a report for Transport for London, Assembly Member, I did a report just in December, Hostile Streets, looking at main roads and walking and cycling for Londoners, the challenges that Londoners face. And the mayor, we asked the mayor what a 20 mph main road should look like if it's going to be self-enforcing, because TfL want their main roads to be self-enforcing. Now, in the mayor's Vision Zero strategy that is coming out shortly after Purdah, we expect, there's going to be some guidance about what 20 mph main roads that are good for walking and cycling should look like. And if I'm re-elected in May, I will make sure that Blackstock Road and Highbury Grove, which kind of run through the middle of Highbury East, put together a bid to Transport for London to make sure that we get the funding to become an exemplar of how you make a main road that is safe for people to walk and cycle.
Thank you. Okay. Everyone's answered, yes. So that draws to a close the first bit of the evening, which is the questions that have been prepared in advance. So I'm now going to take as many questions as I can from the audience. I've got another one coming up as well. There are a lot, so I'm not going to get through all of them. I think the fairest way to do this is I'm prioritising the ones that could go to all candidates, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer them, because they are all relatively straightforward, I think. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. If we need to increase the time, I'll do it for everyone. Okay, so first question. Steve asks, I've just cycled from Tufnell Park to here. What part of Islington's safe cycle network should I have used? And I'm going to start with Ed on that one.
Great question, Steve. Thanks. I would say that there isn't one, and the reason why there isn't one is because we've had years of inaction. We've had little streets that have been deemed safe, but not a joined-up plan. And the only people that offer a joined-up plan, in my view, obviously, would be the Conservative Party. We have a plan for an east-west cycle route, which is family friendly, and
I'm going to
west
stop you.
East as well.
Cool, thank you very much. Okay, so same question to Kate. I've just cycled from Tufnell Park to here. What part of Islington's safe cycle network should I have used?
I live around here, so I'm not terribly familiar with Tufnell Park, although I think I did cycle on a bit of it on Sunday, and had some of the flaws pointed out on the sections going from Whittington Park through the residential streets around the back. So it does exist, but it's piecemeal, and I think that's part of the problem in Islington, that and we saw the map earlier, little bits of streets that are disconnected, and I think the important thing will be to look at those routes holistically, and it was talked about earlier. We need to be integrated, and we need to join up all these little bits of safe streets.
Okay. And make, you know, thank you. Same question to you, Caroline. Tufnell Park to here.
We don't have a safe cycle network. We need time travel into the future when, you know, we've all done all the marvellous and wonderful things to our streets to make them better. I mean, I just use Holloway Road and it's gruesome, and I certainly would not want to cycle it with an eight-year-old child.
Okay, cool. Same question to Claudia. Tufnell Park to here, which part of Islington's safe cycle network? That's in inverted commas on the question.
As there isn't a safe cycle route from Tufnell Park to here, then I would encourage.
Could we avoid interrupting, please? Thank you. I'm sorry. Please don't speak over the candidates. Thank you. Claudia, when you're ready, carry on.
As there isn't a safe cycle route from Tufnell Park to here, I would encourage people here, and I would have walked myself. The reality is that we have a Tory government that lacks investment and developed a program for austerity. You will have noticed the pattern that funding to Islington for transport improvements, for cycling improvement, does not come directly from okay. Islington's own budget. It comes
Claudia,
from
I'm going to stop
from
you there,
the Tory,
Claudia,
the then Tory mayor,
Claudia?
Who chose to politically
okay, thank you. Thank
fund
you.
The outer London boroughs.
I will ask for the mics to be turned off.
The inner London
talking,
boroughs.
So.
It was a political decision, and it was wrong.
Guys, okay, thank you. I'll allow that because there was an interruption. Please don't interrupt. I will ask for people to be removed if they keep doing it. Okay, so second question from Naomi says, great to see commitments to remove fossil fuel investments from the council pension fund by the Greens and Labour. But for these to be meaningful, they must be clear and time-bound. So what are your expected timescales for kicking off the process post-elections and for full divestment? First of all, that goes to Kate, please. 30 seconds.
You've got me stumped, I'm afraid. I think it's an excellent question. I think we should all be cutting down on fossil fuels where we can, and I know that the council is currently consulting on stopping wood-burning fuels as well. But I really don't have the expertise to answer that question, although I think it's a really serious question. It's something I'd like to look into in more detail. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Same question to Caroline, please.
This is a question for the Pensions Committee at the Council. It is really important that the Council takes divestment really seriously, because if we are going to avoid the catastrophic impacts of climate change on our everyday lives, then we have to make sure that Islington is not funding fossil fuel businesses and that Islington gets its money, its pension funds, out of the fossil industries.
Thanks. Same question to Claudia, please.
We should never underestimate the toxic air that we all breathe. The impact of independence on fossil fuels is devastating, not just for our communities here, but for our communities overseas. It's an international issue. It affects climate change. We are committed to tackling our dependence on fossil fuels. That's why our manifesto commitment made a clear commitment to divest.
Thank you.
In terms of our pension funds.
Thanks. And finally to Ed, please, for the Conservatives.
Climate change is so important. As I've mentioned throughout this, one of the themes has been focusing on the future, and clearly climate change is going to play a big part in both my life, your life, and our children's lives. And that is really important. However, I'm not going to sit up here and pretend that I know exactly that issue within the council at this particular moment in time. I would leave that up to the Pensions Committee within the council, but it's clearly a very serious issue that we need to address very soon after the May elections.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, next question. So I'm going to start with Caroline, I think. Your turn to start. What would be your first achievement for cyclists after the 2018 election, says Christian?
First achievement?
For cyclists after the 2018 election, yeah.
I think getting more bike hangers in and cutting the cost of them. I did a budget amendment this year. We could, just for a tiny microscopic increase in our pay and display parking charges, we could have enough spaces for nearly almost 2,000 extra bicycles and in bike hangers, and we could cut the cost in half. So you could still make a contribution towards the capital cost as someone parking your bike in it, but you would take the cost down below the cost of parking a car.
Thank you. Cheers. Okay, Claudia, your first achievement for cyclists after the 2018 election.
Well, after the 2018 election, we have a number of cycle routes that we must progress. As well as removing the dangerous cycling, the dangerous gyratories at Ivy Corner and Old Street, What we need to do is to ensure that we cater and enable those who don't cycle to actually do just that. And in order to do that, we need to enable and encourage people not to use even our safe and better junctions, use other roads. And that's why I'm hoping we will reduce traffic on Old Street.
Thank you, Claudia.
And
thanks.
Cut it off and
please
make it an improved
stop
society.
Talking. I'm going to keep talking until you do. Thank you.
That's what I'm here to do.
So, same question to Ed, please. Your first achievement for cyclists after the 2018 election.
I've got three quite simple ones. The first is make one-way roads for traffic and the two-way roads for cyclists. The second is improved road markings on cycle lanes that already exist. And the third is massively increasing the number of bike hangers and slashing the cost by half. It is ridiculous that we pay £104 for it when Hackney pays £30.
Okay, thank you.
Simple.
How's everyone answered? Have I missed you out?
I'm going to echo some of what you've already... Sorry.
Okay, so your first achievement for cyclists after the 2018 election.
I'm going to echo some of what you've already heard. I mean, Islington Council has a surplus of £19 million in parking revenues last year, and they should ring-fence, they perhaps already do, but they should ring-fence some of that and spend it on things like cycle storage, secure cycle storage. And I completely agree with Ed on my right about redoing the markings. If you come along Drayton Park, the green is all faded, the lines are all gone. Simple, quick win, replace the existing markings clearly.
Thank you. Good, okay. This is an interesting one. Okay, so traffic reduction schemes always generate strong opposition. We haven't got a name on this one. In Waltham Forest, there were mass demonstrations against the livable neighbourhood, and traffic increased in the short term on some neighbouring roads. How can I be confident that you will keep your promises in the face of powerful and vocal opposition? And that goes to Claudia first, sorry. Claudia, please. 30 seconds.
Ours is a borough of fairness. It's important that we actually work with communities and build support. That's what we did with our improvements that we've made already in places like Bunhill Row and in places like our gyro issues. When we consult with residents and involve them in the change, they, in actual fact, will support that change when we make the arguments that it actually improves health, well-being, and it actually saves lives. So that's what we'll concentrate on, consult, engage, and inform and enable
Thank you. To have
informed choices.
Thanks, Claudia. Okay. Same question to... Sorry, there was a name on that. It was Mary. So same question to Ed. Please. And if anyone wants me to repeat the question at any point, do say. But you can't look at it.
Okay. I can say we will keep our promise because our plan is staged. It is based on short term, which is the quick wins, which I spoke about in the last question, the medium term, which is based on our looking at schools and moving them into more pleasant areas and making things more safer for our families, and then the longer term, which is our plan for the A1. And those things combined with consultations with the public, are we able to do that?
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Same question to Kate, please. Again, let me know if you want it read out again.
Traffic changes are obviously like Marmite. Some like them and some don't like them. But it's important not to think about them in terms of winners and losers, because actually if we create a better environment, we all gain, and those two sides need to be weighed up very carefully. I'm not convinced by the nature of some of the consultation, though, that we've seen this current council do, and I think better engagement with communities and better input from residents ought to deliver better results.
Thank you. And to Caroline, please.
Getting a sense of a common mission to solve agreed, identified problems that are facing our community, such as congestion, such as health-damaging air pollution, such as increasing road danger on our streets. If we can get together, find the routes that work, find a way to make sure that there are no losers, that you make sure you deal with whole areas rather than just shunting traffic over to another road.
Okay.
That's going to
that's going to be the way to do it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next question. This is from Nicola. Islington is allegedly the worst borough for a woman to live in. How will new and prospective councillors make sure that women are properly consulted about transport changes? So we're going to start back to you, Ed, I think, for that one first of all. 30 seconds.
Well, I feel really well qualified as the only man in this panel to really answer that question, clearly. You know, it's a really, really serious issue, and we really need to have, you know, insight from everyone who travels, every woman, every girl, every person who travels on our transport on how to make that safer. And we should implement those with absolutely 100%. And that's how I would do it, just a real deep dive into how to do that.
Thank you. Same question goes to Kate, please, for the Lib Dems. 30 seconds.
Going back to something I said earlier, there's only a limited space on buses for buggies. Lots of parents travelling with children need to travel by public transport. If they can't get on a bus and miss a bus, they may miss several buses because those spaces are also used by wheelchair users. So if our public transport system isn't accessible, how many times have people in this room helped a mother or father with a buggy down the steps at Highbury Corner Tube? I mean, really, our stations aren't fit for purpose. We need to make them more accessible. And if we make them accessible to women, we make them to everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Same question to Caroline, please.
This is an absolutely fundamental question. At the moment, if you look at the people who are cycling, they are overwhelmingly male, and they are overwhelmingly probably under 50 and possibly over 25. We have a very small group of people who feel comfortable cycling on our roads. We need to change that, and that means we need to listen to, talk to women, and find out what it is that will make them cycle. And it's not complicated. It's got to be safe, and it's got to be, you've got
Thanks.
To be okay to take your kids with you.
Okay.
So,
thank you. Same question to Claudia, please.
Creating change that improves and makes our environment better for women means that we have to do more than just improve cycling. Making our streets suitable for pedestrians and families is what we need to focus and target. That means that we need to have pleasant environments that we can all enjoy. Places to sit, pavements that are wide enough, places that are people dominated and not traffic dominated. That's the vision we need to have, and then we need to work
thank
with communities
you.
To enable us to get there.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this one's good. Okay, so this goes to Kate first. How will you ensure that the 20-mile-per-hour limits that everyone's mentioned are adhered to, and will they be enforced? For example, the person asks, on Drayton Park, where speeds are very high, so how will you ensure the 20-mile-per-hour limits are adhered to, and will they be enforced? To Kate, please.
I agree. It's really shocking how little the 20-mile... an hour limit is enforced. I was collecting something from the post office the other day, and on that road, three buses went past triggering the smiley face to turn into a frown. So even buses, Islington buses, are ignoring those limits. I think that it sounds like a silly thing to put police officers on, but if we could at least have spates of time when we actually do enforce that rather than and use technology to do that,
Thank
that'll do
you.
The thing.
Okay, yeah. Same question to Claudia, please, 30 seconds. I'm so sorry. To Caroline, 30 seconds, please.
Well, one thing that I've been pushing the mayor to do is to bring in independent speed adaptation on all our buses, because if the buses run at 20 mph, then they act as like a rolling speed limiter for everybody. The other thing is what I was talking about earlier. I won't bore you by talking about it again.
Okay, thank you. Same question does go to Claudia this time, please.
So I'm answering, how do we enforce...
Yeah, I'll read it out again. How will you ensure the 20-mile-per-hour limits are adhered to, and will they be enforced?
Okay, so we are not only the first borough, as Islington Labour, to introduce 20-mile-per-hour speed limits, but we were the first borough to enable the police to enforce it. No other borough has yet enabled their police to enforce the 20-mile-per-hour. So that is precisely what Islington did, partly perhaps because of the skill sets we bring to the table of working together, but but our police service here in Islington have chosen to work with us. What the problem that we have is because we all of our roads are 20 miles per hour,
okay.
But none of the TfL
okay.
roads
I'm,
when
I'm
the Tory mayor of London was in charge were doing
okay,
that.
Okay, Claudia, thank you.
And the Labour mayor of London
Claudia,
is
please,
now working
please, thank
with
you.
Us on
Cheers.
Precisely
I'm
that.
I'm going to keep talking until you stop, thank you. I know it is difficult to keep in 30 seconds, but please do try. Okay, and has everyone had a go at that? No, Ed, you haven't. Okay, so 30 seconds. How will you enforce the 20-mile-per-hour limits?
Firstly, I'd make it obvious that it's 20 mile an hour because there's not a lot of signage around to say it's 20 mile an hour. The road markings have faded, so I'd make it obvious. And certainly when I first came through Islington, I happened upon going at 20 miles an hour before I noticed it after I'd been here for a few miles. The second thing I would agree with Caroline, speed adaptation for buses. And the third thing, let's speak to the police. Let's engage more with the police so they can enforce it more readily. There's lots of police always up and down Holloway Road, so okay. we need to move it up the priority list.
Okay, thank you. Now, this is one that I personally affects me. So the A1 is the most direct north-to-south route through the borough between Archway and Highbury. How will you ensure that people cycling there are protected? And that question goes to Caroline first, please.
Well, a few years ago, quite a lot of people in this room will have cycled the route with TfL for CS12, which is one of the cycle superhighway plans that has been dropped. It was dropped by the previous mayor and hasn't yet been picked up again by Sadiq Khan. That would provide a safe route for people to cycle north-south through the borough, and it really should be implemented.
Okay. Same question goes to Claudia, please.
Well, as I've indicated, the Labour Islington's manifesto makes a commitment to campaign to ensure that the whole A1 stretch in terms of Holloway Road, Upper Street, is indeed developed so that it provides protection for cyclists and for walkers. At the end of the day, it needs to be a place that is safe, that is suitable for active travel. It currently isn't, and we will not let that one go. We will continue to campaign for change.
Thank you. To Ed, please.
Yes, this is really part of our long-term plan, working with the Mayor and Transport for London for our proposed major transport infrastructure using the central reservation of Holloway Road and the A1. This would ultimately reduce congestion in the A1, provide a rail public transport solution, and then that would allow more physical activities such as cycling, walking, running along the A1 and along what I think is one of the best roads in London.
Okay, thank you. And to Kate, please.
I mean, the A1, unlike some of the roads in Islington, has got the luxury of being very wide and having the space to be redesigned to incorporate all kinds of users. So whether it be parked cars, enough space that they can open their doors without knocking cyclists off, dedicated cycle lanes and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, not all Islington's roads are the same. So you get safely down, if we redesign the A1, get round Highbury Corner and then get onto Upper Street where there's some very narrow pinch points and it won't ever be as safe. So we can't deliver solutions across the borough.
Okay, thank you. Everyone's had a go. I should really be keeping this in mind. Good, marvellous. Okay, so it's on the front page of the Gazette this week. Upper Street pedestrianisation. What are your thoughts on that? And that goes to Claudia first. That's right, isn't it? Yes, okay. Well, if no one can remember, that's fine. Claudia, Upper Street pedestrianisation.
I assume when you talk about Upper Street pedestrianisation, you're talking about a place that looks pleasant and green, and a place that is active and enables people of all ages to engage, that is people-dominated, returning it, if you like, back to the place where streets are designed for people and not for cars, that opportunity to enable people who are wheelchair-bound, to enable people who are children to be able to enjoy their high streets.
Okay.
And that place where businesses are able to thrive okay. because of that change.
Thank you. Same question to Ed, please. Upper Street pedestrianisation. What are your thoughts?
I love Upper Street. It's one of the great. It's one of the best streets in Islington. I don't live close enough to it, but I go there quite often, particularly like running down there when I'm on my days off.
And I do think it's a real issue, particularly at the top towards Highbury Corner, towards Highbury and Islington Station, where there is a lot of busy traffic. And I do think it needs a real integrated solution. But I do think that's more of a medium to long-term solution, and that will fit in with our medium to long-term plans for the A1. Thank you.
Same question to Kate, please.
I'd like to see various streets in Islington closed from time to time to make them interplay streets, so on an ad hoc and informal basis. But turning to upper street pedestrianisation, there's some real challenges around that. Maybe sections of it could be safely closed without impacting business, and maybe that would be a first step to work towards to get people understanding what it really means and delivering those benefits in chunks along upper street. I think that's probably what I'd support.
Okay, thank you. To Caroline, please.
Well, they're flying a kite. It's about vision. It's about trying to make us imagine our streets being different. And actually, I really wish they'd talked about closing the Euston Road, because that would have been really transformatory. I campaigned for years with Living Streets to get rid of the sheep pen down at the Angel and to make Upper Street as pedestrian-friendly as it is at the moment, which is an awful lot more pedestrian-friendly than it used to be. I think we should, take this as as inspiration to hold car-free days, car-free events. I cannot see the reality of a no-bus upper street at the moment. Unless maybe we have one of Ed's trams.
All right, thank you. Good, okay. I'm aware that some people have asked questions for individual candidates, and I am compiling those as well, so don't think I've forgotten them. Okay, so this one now, we're going to go back to Ed to kick off with. Will Islington promise not to place electric car charging points on pavements where cables cause trip hazards?
Yes. If you vote a Conservative on May the 3rd and get a real voice, a real opposition in the council, which we haven't had for 8 years, then you will see a real transformative change as we have outlined in our manifesto. And it's as simple as that.
Cool. Kate, will you promise not to place electric car charging points on pavements where cables cause trip hazards?
I have to confess that I hadn't realised that they were just stuck in the middle of pavements as they were. I think it's appalling. I think that we need to, as part of what we're doing to make our pavements attractive for pedestrians, we should be looking at all kinds of street furniture and really rationalising our pavements. The Paris solution with them tucked away at the side of the verge looked much more attractive and certainly something I would support, absolutely.
Okay, good. Same question to Caroline, please.
I would insist that the electric charging points go in the carriageway, not on the pavement, and that also we do a pavement build-out either side so that you make it easier for pedestrians to cross the road. Because if you can step out into the carriageway to the level of the outer line of parked cars, you can both see and be seen by oncoming traffic, and that's something that will actually help children walk to school independently and older people cross the road. It also reduces the crossing distance, so we could have a win-win.
Thank you. And finally to Claudia, please.
We've made a commitment as Islington Labour to rapidly increase the number of electric charging points that we have in our borough. It makes sense in terms of reducing the toxic air that we all breathe to encourage people to move to less polluting vehicles. That means that equally we don't need to put those chargers on pavements, but ensure that they are in build-outs onto the carriageway. And that is exactly what we're doing. We're being innovative around residential chargers and also on rapid chargers. But where we're implementing lamppost chargers...
Okay, time. Thank you. Okay, and that's everyone, isn't it? It's getting really hard to keep track. Okay, so what did I see that I liked? Done that one. Okay, so I'm going to do something slightly different now. I've got a question for each candidate, a different question for each candidate, because people have written questions to you individually. I'm really sorry, Kate, but no one's written you a question specifically, so I'm going to choose one to give you. Okay, so this question is... I'm going to start with Ed, because this is the first one that I've seen. Could Ed please detail the costing plans for moving primary schools? And actually, there is a follow-up which the other candidates can answer. So, Ed, can you detail the costing plans for moving the primary schools, please?
How long do you have?
Decreasingly.
25 seconds.
Okay. So this is part of our medium-term plan, and it starts with the process of looking at... well, please don't interrupt me. I didn't interrupt you. It starts at looking at the pollution around our schools and prioritising which ones we're going to move. And that will be built into a wider infrastructure programme, particularly looking at enhancing the Sobel Centre and placing maybe one or two schools within that enhancement as well. Clearly, this will cost a lot of money, and it is a long-term plan, and it is a medium-term plan for that reason. However, I don't think we can really put a price on our children's health.
Okay. Thank you.
And so that's what we want to look into.
I'm actually going to do not what I said, because there's the second part of the question, which is what do the other panellists think of the proposal, and I would like to hear that. So, Kate, what do you think of the proposal to move primary schools?
It might take a while, and perhaps by then we'll have electric cars and there won't be the same problem with pollution that we have today.
Okay.
I mean, I think we should, however, dare to dream. There's no harm in thinking of being creative and coming up with other solutions.
Okay. Caroline, what do you think of the proposal to move primary schools?
Just cut the pollution overall. We need to be able to breathe clean air in every single street in Islington. Moving schools is... It's unspeakably unsensible. You know, we just need to clean up the air. We all need to be able to trust the air we breathe.
Okay. Claudia, what do you think of moving primary schools?
I wanted to say... but I won't say it. But only to say that the whole of Islington is an air quality management problem. The whole of Islington exceeds the EU air quality limit. This isn't about cleaning up one school. This is about ensuring that the whole of Islington has its air cleaned up. And to move a school because... Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm actually going to do the same thing, and I'm going to allow everyone else to respond. This is a question for Caroline. From Tim, it says, I assume that you are still in favour of pedestrianising part of Highbury Corner. I have a list of about a dozen objections to this scheme. I also conducted a short survey of parents, grandparents, etc., collecting their children from Canonbury Primary School this afternoon. Of the 20 questioned, 18 said they would not allow their children to bike to school, despite the proposed new cycle lanes, and two said they might, but there would need to be more cycle lanes on the main roads adjoining Highbury Corner. With all that in mind, will you support a comprehensive traffic impact survey before any work is begun and put the scheme on hold until there's been a more thorough consultation? There was a lot to that, so I'll repeat it if you want. But.
I think I've got it all.
Okay.
I used to be a parent at Canterbury School, and I used to do school travel planning. I was the sort of volunteer parent who kind of worked with the children on road safety and road danger issues. When we did the hands-up survey, every single term, the children always put their hands up for, well, one or two of them wanted to come by helicopter because they kind of wanted to fly, but most of them wanted to scoot or cycle. That is what they saw as being an exciting way of getting to school, and that extends their range, it helps them. It gets back to the whole point of this hustings, which is about how do we link public health and transport? How do we make sure that the way we manage our streets is actually helping our children to live healthy lives.
So yes or no?
Yes or no to what? To will I put the Highbury Corner on hold? What I have committed to and what I... No, yeah. I don't think it should be put on hold. I think that the time is... If we keep putting things off, we will never, ever get change. But what I have committed to is making sure that we have regular meetings with residents so that residents are properly involved, because that has not happened so far.
I think that was an important bit to add to the answer. So what I'm going to say is, if the others like to respond to that, I'll give you about sort of 40 seconds, because that was what Caroline had. Claudia, do you want to respond to that? No? Okay, fine.
I want to respond to it.
You do?
The answer is no.
Oh, sorry, the answer is no. Okay. Fine. Ed, would you like to respond to that? And what is the answer?
What was the question? It was so long ago.
Yeah. So
will you put the hybrid corner plans on hold?
Will I put the hybrid corner plans on hold?
So it was a question for Caroline saying, "Will you put the hybrid corner plans on hold while a consultation happens?" I'd like you to respond to kind of what Caroline said or the question.
What I think is really good is consultation and speaking to different people and understanding different views and points of views. With a 47 out of 48 Labour council, clearly that hasn't happened. And I don't really know why, because clearly they could push through pretty much anything they wanted. But clearly they have not understood sort of the compromise attitude that we need. We need another voice in the council. You know, this is one particular issue that could really be hashed out if there's an opposition voice in the council, which the Conservatives can offer, and we can really offer a real alternative.
Okay, thank you. And Kate, would you like to respond to all that?
I think I've already said that we would call for a short pause just to allow people to really consider. I mean, I've looked at the map of the proposals and it's not exactly clear to me exactly what's going on. There are various, I don't understand it and I'd love somebody to explain it to me fully. So there are aspects of it that are unclear. I think a short hiatus to give everybody a chance to consult would avoid some of the problems we've seen at Archway, where people have had to go back and slightly redo things. That it was built, it's got all the best of intentions, and actually I think the Archway scheme is delivering some tangible benefits, but it didn't do so initially and it's had to be tweaked. And I think we've got an opportunity here to do that tweaking if possible.
Okay, thank you. Interesting that you should mention Archway, because that's my next question. This is for Claudia, but again, I'll allow everyone to respond to what she says. So, since the gyratory works at Archway have proved of doubtful value, says Martin, would it not be wise to listen to the doubts expressed by so many residents? Bloody hell, what does that say? To study and take time to perfect a scheme, later mitigation measures should be avoided. I'm going to say that again because I screwed it up. Since the gyratory works at Archway have proved of doubtful value, would it not be wise to listen to the doubts expressed by so many residents, to study and take the time to perfect a scheme? Later mitigation measures should be avoided. Why the rush? Claudia.
Well, the communities of Archway have long campaigned for change. You had a traffic-dominated area where the key task was to get to the M1 at speed in the quickest time possible. It was used for trucks and lorries to come through our borough, coming from somewhere, going out of our borough, going to somewhere else. The reality is we've created the change that actually communities wanted to see. And having removed a road, we've handed it back to the people where it belongs.
Thank you. Ed, would you like to respond to that?
Respond to Claudia or answer the question?
Whatever you want, yeah.
I think it's really important to understand where we sit in the context of London, and clearly wider issues, clearly local issues are really, really important, and hopefully I've articulated that in our plan. But we do have a major road that runs through the borough. There's no getting away from it. And we will have traffic that comes from the centre of London and goes through our borough onwards up north. And what we need to do is come up with a compromise and work with the mayor and not hark back to times when we wanted to work against mayors because they were a different colour, a different creed. You know, we need to work with Transport for London to come up with a workable solution.
Okay, thank you. And Kate, lastly, would you like to respond to either Claudia or the question?
Sort of slightly lost my thread here, but I think I reiterate my point, which is that I think the Archway scheme does deliver some improvements. We do suffer in Islington, as Claudia said, from a lot of through traffic with the A1 coming through, and this has got problems which will be very difficult for Islington on its own to solve. I'm just a bit worried it's slightly soulless, and I worry that that's what we'll get at Highbury Corner, a sort of concrete expanse with a few dead trees.
And Caroline.
I think, Archway, there's
lots of people in this room were, you know, standing, blocking Archway roundabout years ago, trying to get Transport for London to listen. Transport for London listened, and they have come up with a scheme. I think that Transport for London should be learning from that consultation process, because I think they could have done what they did at Archway in a much, much more streamlined way if they had worked more closely with local residents. And that, if I am re-elected, is what I will try and make happen here at Highbury Corner, by making sure that local residents are engaged in the conversation as the Highbury Corner plans move forward. But we are living in a city that has rising air pollution,
okay,
desperate physical inactivity, rising
wrap
congestion
up,
and road danger, and we have to have
okay
the vision
yep
to change
thank you
it.
How long have I got? 10 minutes? Okay, right, I'll cram them in. And I'm going to ask this to all the candidates, it's aimed at one, but will you reverse the council's decision to allow barbecues in Islington Parks to improve the air quality? Will you reverse the decision to allow barbecues in Islington Parks? And I'm going to start with Kate this time.
Yes. I know that Islington, lots of residents of Islington don't have outdoor spaces, but and they must love coming to Islington, to Highbury Fields, to barbecue there. But many other people come to Highbury Fields because they don't have gardens and they want to relax there. I'd encourage picnics, not barbecues. Hackney has recently introduced a ban on disposable barbecues. I think at the very least we should do that, but I'd like to see a ban on barbecues. Let's have picnics.
Okay. Caroline, will you reverse the decision to allow barbecues in parks?
I would. I have, as the only opposition councillor, not been able to reverse the decision on my own. But what I have done is make sure that the people who are cleaning up after the barbecues have fireproof gloves, that they have water to put out fires, and that they have fireproof bins. So I've tried to at least address some of the safety issues around it. But I do agree, I have huge numbers of people coming to me in my case workload, who have lung and heart problems, who have children with asthma, who hate going to Highbury
okay
Fields on a sunny day because it is clogged
all
with
right
smoke.
Thank you. Claudia, barbecues in parks, will you reverse the decision to allow them?
The decision to put barbecues in parks was a decision based on fairness. As indicated, the borough is one where people's lives are unfair. Those who live with gardens are a minority of those who don't have gardens or any space to play or actually enjoy the outdoors. So our decision to allow barbecues in parks was a fair decision, and all our parks are open to barbecues, and I wouldn't ban barbecues in Highbury Fields. I think it was the right thing to do. We've implemented the clear
okay
safety measures.
I'm going to stop you there, thank you, just for
it's
time.
It's not a public health
okay
issue.
Okay, thank you. And Ed, barbecues in parks.
Okay, if we want to talk about fairness, how is £104 for a bike locker as fair? But I would agree with the two people to my left. With regards to the barbecues, I think we should encourage more picnics. We should encourage smaller businesses who want to set up picnic providing facilities around our green spaces in order to be able to do that. And I would agree with the two people to my left.
Okay. Due to previous road closures instigated by the council, a major rat run has been created through Balbeck Road, Filbay Crescent and Horsell Road. What action will be taken to reduce rat running traffic on previously quite residential streets in that area? Start with Caroline, please.
I used to live on Balbeck Road, so I know the rat running on Balbeck Road very, very well. And this comes back to the point that we mustn't be pitting the residents of one street against the residents of another. So we have to deal with the whole area of the Highbury Diamond. That means Holloway Road, Highbury Corner, St Paul's Road, up Blackstock Road, all the way to Finsbury Park, and then back down to Drayton Park along the railway lines and back out to Holloway Road. If you take that whole area, that whole network of streets, if you look at it on the map, it makes a kind of diamond.
and we have to filter that whole area so that you cannot cut through from one main road to another. That would be a solution,
okay,
but it's radical and it would need the
That's
community to want it.
That's all we've got time for. Thank you. Same question goes to Claudia, please, and I'll repeat it if you want. But you want it again?
I'll answer the question. Well, of course, Islington is one of the densest boroughs across London, and that means that we have the shortest roads and we have the close-knit population living cheap by jowl. So therefore, what we need is a whole borough approach in terms of change. But the problem that we have is that we don't have the investment in terms of resources to make those changes. So what we're committed to in our manifesto is to at least tackle HGVs and lorries to ensure that they aren't rat running on our residential roads, and ask, in a sense, the Mayor of London to work with us to develop a whole borough solution,
okay,
so that it doesn't mean that...
Wrap it up, thank you. Okay, same question goes to Ed, please.
We do have the vision. We do have the vision to change what we can do. We don't need to come up with excuses anymore. We need to come up with solutions to our problems. And they need to be creative and interesting and really appeal to a broad spectrum of people that live here. And what we've suggested, it does do that. Family-friendly cycle routes, east-west through the borough, from Holloway Prison to Nag's Head, and from Sussex Way to the Sewable Centre. And that's our simple solution to ending the rat runs. And it's about being creative, and we should really understand that we can come up with a solution to our own problems and not focus on the negativity of the past.
Okay, thank you. And finally to Kate, please.
I mean, I think in the short term, width restrictions and weight restrictions on Fieldway and Baalbek would deliver some relief from the heavy traffic that's just avoiding Highbury Corner. But I agree with Caroline that a holistic review of a wider area is necessary too, to understand why people are choosing to come that way and what are the problems that make them choose those roads. We should be making our quiet residential streets for people who live on them, to, if they need to drive or to cycle or walk, and not shortcuts for lorries.
Okay, thank you. And I think that's all we've got time for, as they say. So would somebody from the hosts like to wrap up?
Are we allowed one sentence to sum up?
Are we not allowed a minute to sum up?
People want to hear a sentence? Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, so if you want to wrap up in one sentence, I'll just do it in reverse order from the beginning. So Claudia, if you'd like to go first.
I want to have streets that make us all feel proud, provide identity and a sense of belonging so important for our children and young people today, where we create places people want to be by increasing pavement space and introducing seating, shade and shelter, bringing streets back to life so that we can all enjoy being part of them. Our streets need to be easy to navigate and truly accessible and safe to cross. I have no doubt the positive impact streets designed for people can have, and only an Islington Labour deliver the change that we all desperately need.
Thank you. Okay, a line to wrap up. You've got 40 seconds, I should have said, I'm sorry, but I'll give you a 10-second warning. Caroline.
Thank you. I've been a councillor for the last 4 years. It has been an absolute privilege and a pleasure. I think the thing that gives me most pride in the time that I've been a councillor is crossing the zebra crossing by the clock tower up to Highbury Barn. I have campaigned for that with Steph in the audience since 2003, and I was delighted that my fellow Labour councillors got on board with the idea, that Councillor Webb backed it as well, and that zebra is used by people day in, day out. The other thing I'm proud of is getting Transport for London, when they were doing all the stuff at Highbury Corner, to resurface Church Path, because those are two just practical things, okay, that help people who are walking and cycling.
Thank you. Thank I'm so you. Sorry, I didn't give you the 10-second warning. Kate, wrap up.
I'm new to politics. I got involved in attending ward partnership meetings due to my role on the Highbury Fields Association and got an insight into how this council conducts its business. I don't think that they properly consult or really seek the views of residents. If you were to elect me, I'd certainly work very hard to ensure that you were listened to. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, Ed, please.
We've heard a lot tonight about the past, which is great because it allows us to understand our problems. We've also heard a lot of people blame things on the past, which isn't really that good because it doesn't help us solve our problems. But what we have heard from myself and from the Conservatives is that the Conservative solution offers a real change for the future. And if you vote Conservative on May the 3rd, you'll get a real opposition and hopefully a real council that can stand up for you and your future within this borough. Thank you.
Okay. I can do this for you. I'll hand over. Do you want it? No?
Huge thank you to the candidates, but hopefully you've heard that bit. Also, really big thank you to Ramsay for giving up his time to come and chair. He's been an excellent chair. And a big thank you for the turnout. It's been fantastic, and I hope that you got to put your questions forward, and I hope it's helped you to decide how to cast your vote on May the 3rd. Now, we only have 15 minutes left before we have to be out of here, and we've slightly under catered probably on wine. So if you want some, run. The wine is here. Stay for a drink, 15 minutes. It'd be lovely to chat. And there is a pub across the road if you want to stay for longer.
Okay, thank you to Living Streets and Cycle Islington for organising it as well. Really honoured to be here.